you ever thought about what we've just celebrated? What would happen to that story if social services had got involved? Unqualified mum, perilous journey in the third trimester, and then she ends up in a totally unsanitary birthing situation. I don't know what the table manners are like with the animals that you know. When they eat, they drool. A group of strange men appear who've been visited by angels. Happy Christmas season. Have you ever thought about what we've just celebrated? I mean, and I know just not just the Christmas story, we've obviously thought about that a bit, but have you ever thought about the actual physicalities about what we've just been celebrating over the last few days and the weeks leading up to the Christmas season? I mean, it's quite an incredible story, really. And I have to ask myself, what would happen to that story if social services had got involved? I don't know where your brain goes, like, but mine does. I read this narrative of the story and I think it is a good job that the Ministry of Family Development didn't get involved in this. Because when you think about it, in Luke chapter 1, and verse 26 and 27, you've got a totally unqualified and physically unable mum. Now, if you don't realise why she's physically unable, ask your parents, because that's not something I necessarily want to discuss with you. But like, you've got a totally unqualified mum who in her third trimester of her first pregnancy takes an incredibly dangerous and perilous journey. And that's in Luke chapter 2 and verse 6 and 4 to 6. So, unqualified mum, perilous journey in the third trimester, and then she ends up in a totally unsanitary birthing situation where in Luke chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, totally unsanitary surroundings. It's not the place to have a baby. Even back in those days, people didn't go into stables to have babies, unless you're a cow or livestock or something like that. Humans didn't do that then, and they generally don't do that now. And then this baby that's born is wrapped in barely adequate baby clothing, strips of cloth, as you read it in the New Testament, and placed not in a crib, not even in something that looks as nice as it does in the churches when people do their nativity plays, put in an animal's feeding trough. Now, I don't know what the table manners are like with the animals that you know, but if you've ever been around cows, if you've ever been around oxen, if you've ever been around water buffalo, stuff like that, oxen, big oxen, when they eat, they drool. Their tongues are thick and are covered in saliva and stuff. Like, she's placing this baby in a drool-infested container that livestock eats out of. Like I say, good job social services didn't turn up. Now, it seems to me that in the middle of all this, not only is it a bad situation already, but straight away, after a strenuous birthing process, at night, a group of strange men appear, uninvited to this unsanitary stable situation, who've been visited by angels. And they let them in. And then a random wandering prepubescent military percussionist, traditionally, turns up and starts beating taps on his drum. It is the most bizarre physical situation that you can imagine. Now, we're used to it because it's been in our tradition for 2,000 years, and it's on Hallmark cards and all of those things. So we're used to this, and we enact it in different churches, and the familiarity with it actually reduces the reality of the strangeness of the situation. Like, totally unprepared, totally inexperienced, basically without the skills to do the job that they're asked, and an organizational nightmare. Now, this baby, thankfully, doesn't stay a baby, survives, journeys into Egypt to flee crazed mad kings who want to kill him, comes back at the age of 30-ish, after growing in favor with God and man, starts this incredible ministry journey. And after 3 years of amazingly intense ministry, disappears. In Acts chapter 1, the opening verses, disappears and leaves his disciples in charge of this brand new, this baby, baby church. Now, it's not just 12 disciples, like we often, or 11 or 12, or however many there is at that time, because we don't know if they've elected the replacement of Judas yet. But there's hundreds of them, actually, of his followers. And he leaves them in charge of this, like I said, fledgling new movement, this thing that we call the new church. Not one of them had any experience of church leadership. In fact, the phrase, the wording, the coining of the phrase church ecclesia hasn't even been invented yet. And he leaves these people without any experience, totally inexperienced. All of them, at some point or other, have been unfaithful. They're all, lives are crammed full of a mess. And organizationally, they're a mess. And yet, he leaves them there. Just the type of thing that God used at the birth of his son. He entrusts this representation of the kingdom to a bunch of leftovers. Now, we've probably all recovered from our turkey comas and our meat sweats, and we've maybe got over our chocolate migraines by now. We've drunk all the Pepto Bismol that we can take. But as we look at these people, they are like a bunch of leftovers. Now, I don't know about if you want to think about food yet, but one of my favourite things at Christmas, and an English favourite, is a thing called bubble and squeak. Now, I don't know if you have it in Canada. Bubble and squeak is made up of leftovers, and what you do, for those who don't know, this is a free part of the Bible study. You take the turkey and the gravy, and you warm that all through together, slice the turkey, put it in the gravy, and warm that gently on the side. Then you get the mashed potatoes that are left over, and the baked potatoes, and the roast potatoes that are left over. You get the peas that are left over, and the Brussels sprouts that are left over. And you get all those, and you mash them all up together. And yams, if you like yams, I'm not a yam favourite, but you smash them up all together, and you squidge them all together in this mass, and then you put it in a frying pan, and you fry it in butter. Ooh. Just the thought of it, like, I can feel my heart slowing down as I'm describing it. And like, you fry it in butter, and then you take it out of the pan in slices, and it's crispy brown and warmed all the way through, and the butter's gone into it. It's like a British Heart Foundation meal, right? And so, and then you pour the gravy with the turkey on the top, and it's called Bubble and Squeak, and it's just awesome, and it's made of leftovers. And it appears when Jesus leaves the planet, and that's what he entrusts the church to. A bunch of leftovers. A bunch of them. Just leftover guys who he then fills with the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. Now, I mean, think about this. You see, God has got a job for the church on earth to do. And it's a job about representing his kingdom. He says to these guys, just as he leaves, he says this, he says, hey, this is the reason he came. This is the reason that he was born at Christmas time. And he's talking about the kingdom that he birthed. You will be my witnesses to this kingdom, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. Canada, at this point, was the ends of the earth. North America, ends of the earth. England, UK, British Empire, ends of the earth at this point. And he says, you will take my message of my kingdom to the ends of the earth. Now listen. You see, this is the thing about the kingdom. And this is the thing about the kingdom that Jesus was born on this earth to initiate. And he died on a cross and rose again to initiate. And this is what we celebrate the beginning of at Christmas. This kingdom arriving on earth, whose increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He starts this kingdom, right? This new kingdom journey that springs out of the Old Testament and it starts here. This kingdom is a different kingdom than my British kingdom. British passport, Canadian passport. I've got one of each. It's a bit greedy. And these two kingdoms, well, kingdom-ish, these two passports represent certain value systems. They represent certain character traits. And I often hear people talk about their culture saying, yeah, but that's not my culture. Listen, the kingdom of God is bigger than culture. It's a new kingdom. And the rules of this kingdom and the rules of this nation are one set of rules. But the kingdom of God, it's bigger than both of these. And when he asks me to be part of his kingdom, I feel absolutely, totally inadequate. And when he asked me to be a representative of his kingdom, I feel totally inadequate. I don't have the expertise to do it. I'm unqualified. I'm basically inexperienced. Organizationally, bit of a mess. Sound familiar? See, it appears to me when I read this book that that's just the type of things that Jesus can use on this earth. That God entrusted with himself when he was born incarnate on the earth. Inexperienced. Inadequate. And organizationally a bit of a mess. You see, we might think that those things disqualify us from use for the kingdom. And right now, with full bellies, I'm wanting to relax after the holiday season, we might feel totally useless anyway. But God comes along to us and said, hey, I've got a job for you in the kingdom. You might be inadequate and ill-prepared, just like Mary. You might be inadequate and disorganized. And after 3 years of on-job training, given by God himself in a human body, the disciples still didn't get it. Yet God used them to start this incredible movement that swept around the world. Bunch of leftovers. Like you and like me. He says, if we want to be part of it, we can take this thing that we've celebrated at Christmas, this birth of a new kingdom, and we can tell everybody about it everywhere and represent that kingdom on earth, inadequate or not. My question then is, are you in? Do you want to take him up on his challenge and his invitation, inadequate or not, to represent the kingdom on this earth? Hey, bless you. We're heading into a new year in a few days. And what a thought to carry with us. Represent the kingdom, inadequate or not. Stay safe.